Friends, too few eligible voters are calling the shots for far too many of us. I don't get it. If it's because you're alienated by the concentration of power, not voting is a sure bet it will get worse. If you're offended by the role of money in the process, nobody has enough money to beat the sheer numbers of those without. If you think you don't know enough to make an informed decision, listen up. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse on the Lehigh Valley's own National Public Radio affiliate, WDIY, and we're bringing the candidates to you. Tonight, we have the Democratic candidates for Northampton County Executive. On the Republican side, there only is one candidate, and that tends to be the way it works. The Democrats sort of take each other on, the Republicans line themselves up, and so we've got the Democrats tonight. I'm Alan Jennings. I'm your host. By day, most nights, and most weekends for that matter, I'm the executive director of the Community Action Committee of the Lehigh Valley. And once a month, sometimes two or even three times a month, WDIY gives me this microphone. John, Glenn, and Lamont, you might wonder why. we're going to talk to candidates for key races. We're going to have another show May 2nd and May 9th. That should be interesting, too. May 2nd, believe it or not, Scott Ott and Dean Browning in this very studio with liberal Alan Jennings should be interesting. And May 9th, Democratic mayoral candidates in Bethlehem, Bob Donchez and Willie Reynolds. So I hope you'll tune in for those two shows. Let me do a quick introduction of people that I've worked with, in some cases for many years, in some cases more closely than others. First is John Callahan, who before serving two terms as mayor of Bethlehem, served on city council, and before that was in the pharmaceutical industry. Glenn Reedman, who is trained as an educator. He was a strength coach. He was a county executive once before, and he ran, I think, the Delaware River Bridge Commission or something like that, Glenn. And Lamont McClure, who's an attorney, works for the owner of the best team in Major League Baseball. That's Peter Angelos, who owns the Baltimore Orioles, who I hated for many years because he was just ruining the team. But right now we got it all going on. For those of you who watched last night, Manny Machado hits a three-run home run in the ninth inning, and they scored in five runs to beat the dreaded and hated Boston Red Sox. So, Lamont, when you see Pete, tell him I said, way to go, man. Okay, so John, Glenn, Lamont, thanks for coming. The format is that there really isn't a format. This is not going to be a rigid show. This is not going to be John gets 2 minutes, Glenn gets to respond with a minute, Lamont gets to fight back, and so on and so forth. We're going to try to make it conversational, and we're going to try to give everybody an opportunity to weigh in. If you would see this studio, you would see that we're all about elbow to elbow. And the closer you are physically to each other, the harder it is to get nasty. And then you do, it gets really uncomfortable. So I've made it very clear we're not going to do negative tonight. We're going to do the issues. And I think everybody knows that when I feel like somebody's getting beaten up, I tend to side with the one beaten up, and I don't want to side with anybody tonight. So let's ask what I think is an important question, and I think it gets to all kinds of issues. Why in the world would you want to be an elected official these days? The voters are cynical, those who even bother voting. The challenges are immense. The money isn't there. The division in our society is as bad as I've ever seen it, if not worse. So let's start on the first round going in alphabetical order, and then we'll go from there. Mayor Callahan, why in the world are you running for county executive?
Well, Alan, first let me start off by saying thank you for hosting us this evening, and I look forward to having the opportunity, as you said, sort of without a lot of negativity, but to sit down and really discuss the substantive issues that are affecting the county and what, you know, our vision and what our plans are to try to move the county forward. And you know, the why are you running question is an important one, because I think it does speak to your motivation and why it is that, you know, you do what you do. And for me, you know, the decision to run for city council, the decision to run for mayor, really stems back to, you know, if you think back to the situation that the city was in, you know, 10 years ago or 16 years ago with the loss and the demise of Bethlehem Steel, you know, I felt like there were too many people in the community at that time in a leadership role that were kind of looking backward, that were kind of lamenting about what we were, what we had lost, and not necessarily thinking about the future and what we could be. I felt very blessed for having grown up in Bethlehem. I the old adage that it takes a village. I lived in one of those neighborhoods that was very much that way. And for me, it was an opportunity to give back, an opportunity to say thank you to a community that I and help steer the community through some tough times. I've got three kids, and we moved here back home when our daughter was born. My wife's from the area, from Bethlehem. I'm from Bethlehem. We met in high school. And so it was kind of like, you know, we're going to raise our family here. We're going to put our roots here. You know, we got some challenging times ahead. So let's roll up our sleeves and be a part of trying to make it better. And so, you know, now, you know, it's kind of a natural extension. You know, Bethlehem being the largest city in the county, the issues that impact Bethlehem impact so many other local municipalities throughout the county. And I want to take the things that I've learned in my 10 years as mayor and apply them as county executive.
Lamont McClure, I got excited talking about your boss and neglected to make sure everybody knows you are an elected official. You've been in Northampton County Council. I think this is your second term. I think you're 7 years or so into county council.
That's correct.
Okay, so why in God's name do you want to run for Northampton County Executive?
Well, first, Alan, it's a great question, and I look forward to letting Mr. Angelos know that you're happy now that the Orioles are on the right track.
He gets my vote right there.
He likes to hear that, and you brought Mr. Angelos up, and I think that's it's a good segue into, you know, why do I want to be a public official these days? I've been on Northampton County Council for 7 years, and several of those years I served there with Ron Angle, and anyone who knows anything about Mr. Angle's reputation will know that it's not easy serving on a public body with Mr. Angle, and I did it anyway, and I took Ron on, and you know, eventually we were fortunate enough to be able to defeat Ron at the polls. But why I want to be an elected official is it's in my blood. I was raised in a household to understand that public service is important. My dad's a lifelong public servant, a civil servant. My mom was a school board member. So public service and the pursuit of public service for the betterment of the community is something that has always been a part of my life. And the slings and arrows that you alluded to at the beginning, there aren't very important to me. I can take it. And I think you probably know that, you know, I have my critics out there as well as, you know, John and Glenn have their critics. But it was absolutely worth it to me to take the slings and arrows that I have, to have had dealt with Ron Angle for all the years I had, when I could lead the fight to save Graysdale. You know, a few years ago, they tried to privatize Graysdale. They tried to sell Graysdale, the jewel of Northampton County, to a for-profit corporation. And I led the coalition that defeated that the process to try and sell Graysdale to a private corporation. I brought together employees from Graysdale, and I brought together folks who had families there, the coalition of Alzheimer's families, and we fought them. And when we started, we were just this little ragtag group, a couple of obscure elected officials, a few people who had relatives at Graysdale, and a few employees. And because I was there and because I led that effort, we were successful. And that has made every arrow that I have been inflicted with through the years worth being there. And I always knew that, because I was raised to understand that public service is important.
Glenn Raymond, why running again for Northampton County Executive?
Well, first of all, Alan, I want to thank you and WDIY for sponsoring this program tonight so that we can have this discussion about the race for County Executive. Alan, as you know, when everybody is born into a family, they're usually taken to their house of worship and introduced to that religion. When you're born into the Reedman family, you're taken to the election office, you're registered as a Democrat, and you're told you're going to be involved in public service. I have a long history of public service, as well as my family. My late aunt, Jeanette Reedman, served for 38 years in Harrisburg, first woman elected to the state Senate, 28 years as a senator, 10 years in the House of Representatives. She set the example for us. We've followed in her footsteps. I'm running for county executive because I want to finish the job I started. I have the experience, having been elected four times countywide, elected in 1989 to Northampton County Council, reelected in 1993, serving 8 years on county council, the last eight as its, or the last six as its president, and then being elected county executive in 1997 and 2001.
The political fulcrum has moved so far to the right in this country. In the last, you know, supposedly there's this, you know, political, what do you call it?
Pendulum?
You know, pendulum, right. It goes, you know, this way and it goes back. In my judgment, it keeps going further. I mean, it doesn't come all the way back. It keeps going further and further right. And, you know, it's kind of like shaking up the deck. I mean, what is a Republican these days? You know, I mean, a lot of people that, you know, that I think of as Republicans are starting to look like Democrats relative to where the Republican Party has moved. So you're all three Democrats running against each other as Democrats. Just how do you see, I mean, what makes you a Democrat? Let's start with you, Lamont.
Well, it's funny. Glenn talked about being born into a Democratic family. Essentially, I was born a Democrat. On my 18th birthday, I was going to register as a Democrat, and there just wasn't any question about that. Over time, I had the opportunity to get a great education. My most recent education was my law degree at Duquesne University in Pittsburgh, and I began to study the issues, you know, where Democrats are, where Republicans are, where non-affiliated folks are. And ultimately, in addition to the fact that it was automatic that I was going to be a Democrat, I then, after studying, reading, researching, I understood that this was the right place for me. We Democrats still have a broad coalition across our spectrum, and we do have room to disagree within our party, and that's a good and healthy thing. And I think the Republicans are starting to go through that. I'm not a political scientist, so I'm not going to analyze what's going on with them, but I do know. In our party, there's a divergence of viewpoints on a wide range of issues, but at its core, why we are all Democrats is because we realize that folks like the folks who have to go to Graysdale need a place to go where they can be cared for with a high quality of care, even if they might not necessarily be able to afford the highest quality care. There has to be public institutions, safety nets, and on this case, because this is what we three are interested in on the local level, and I consider Graysdale part of the safety net, because if you can't, you know, if you can't afford your care when you're sick and elderly, you have a place to go and a place where you'll be well cared for. So that's why we're Democrats, because we don't think that a place like Graysdale should be privatized. The other guys, they think that's an option, and that's why I'm a Democrat.
Glenn, why are you a Democrat?
I'm a Democrat because I want to help people. I want to help people improve their quality of life. I want to create jobs for them, and I want to enhance our tax base so everyone can live, work, and play in Northampton County. Another thing that impressed me when I picked up today's morning call, I saw our United States Senator, Pat Toomey, who many feels is to the extreme right, coming to the middle. That shows that even Pat can cross towards our side. We're doing the right thing.
Yeah, I was surprised by that myself. John, why are you a Democrat?
Well, you're right in the sense that, you know, the pendulum does shift back and forth, and fortunately, you know, with this latest presidential election, we were able to reelect President Obama, and I had the opportunity to go down to the convention as a delegate, and I brought my 17-year-old daughter with me. And there was a moment during Vice President Biden's speech when he was giving a full-throated defense of Democrats and Democratic values and what it is that we stand for. And he said something that night that said, you know, we Democrats, all anyone really wants in this world, in this country, and even is a fair shot. I don't think people are entitled to equal amounts of success, but but they ought to have the opportunity or a shot at success. And I think if you boil down, and he said this so strong, and I turned to my daughter, we were sitting that night, way literally our backs were to the last, we were in the last row of the convention center in Charlotte, and I turned to my daughter and I said, Sarah, that's why we're Democrats. And I got a good shot growing up. I was blessed to have a lot of people care about me and keep me on the straight and narrow. And you know, I do believe that government is not, it's not the answer, but I'll tell you what, it can have, and Democrats believe that it can have a very positive and meaningful role in making people's lives better. And so when you get an opportunity, and you can see this at the presidential level, and you can see it, when you get a chance to elect a Democrat in the executive role, we're not going to spend all day tearing government down and saying everything that government touches, it destroys. We're actually going to try to find a way to make government better, more efficient, more effective, so that it can't be torn down, so that it can have that positive, meaningful role in making people's lives better.
You're listening to listener-supported community public radio. This is WDIY, FM 88.1 in most places, but there's a bunch of other numbers somewhere maybe I can get help with later. I'm Alan Jennings. I'm your host, and tonight we have the three candidates for Northampton County Executive on the Democratic side. That is John Callahan, Glenn Reedman, and Lamont McClure. Glenn, you know, you've got this different kinds of approaches that people can take as elected officials and how they see their role as elected representatives of the people. You can be a trustee where you assume that they chose you because they think you know what you're doing and you're going to call the shots as you see them. Or you could be a delegate where you see yourself playing the role of representing the people, where you might subjugate your own political views to what you believe the people who elected you would choose. Would you see yourself as a delegate or a trustee?
I see myself as an aggressive county executive, as I was in office, who took on the problems that were facing the county, who invested in the county's capital projects, who invested in economic development in all four corners of Northampton County, and who invested in open space and land preservation.
Does that make you a delegate or a trustee? Do you think the voters wanted you to do those things, or did you think they were the right thing to do when you led?
I thought that was the right thing to do as a leader in Northampton County. When you are elected as county executive, you are elected to make decisions. Those are the decisions I made.
Lamont, delegate, trustee.
I think sometimes you're a delegate, sometimes you're a trustee, and some days you don't know what you are. When I started out leading the fight to save Graysdale, I had absolutely no idea what public opinion was on that. We ultimately found out where public opinion ended up. But when we started, we were alone. There weren't many people with us. It looked like it was going to be a done deal. As a matter of fact, it will make a little bit of news here, I think. A contract for sale to the for-profit corporation was already signed. Mm-hmm. It was just a matter of getting it through county council. Fortunately, they couldn't do that, and ultimately the folks decided to save it. But sometimes you're a delegate, sometimes you're a trustee. With respect to open space and farmland preservation and environmentally sensitive land, I, as a county councilman, have voted to preserve more farmland, open space, and environmentally sensitive land than any other county councilman who's ever served, county council person who's ever served. I had a notion that this is what the folks wanted because we had a referendum on that.
We had a
right?
poll, man.
Right.
We
so these are two examples of being a delegate and being a trustee. And like I said, some days I don't know what I am.
John, delegate or trustee?
It's an interesting question, and I guess I'd concur with Lamont that it depends on the issue. I think for the most part, when you're getting elected to an executive position, a mayor's position, a county executive's position, typically you're going to govern mostly as a trustee. I think the county issues are complex. It's not that people can't understand them, but you've been elected to understand the complexity of these issues and vote your conscience and lead the county forward. That's why people put that trust in you. I don't know that you can lead by committee. I don't think that's a particularly decisive way or effective way to get things done. But I think Lamont brought up, you know, really the two specific examples most recently in county government in Northampton County where, you know, it was you were right to sort of not be that trustee, but to be the delegate, both in the open space referendum and in the referendum to keep Grayscale under county ownership and county operation. And so, in those particular cases where it's that clear, you know, you have to honor the will of the people, honor the voters' wishes, and make even if you don't necessarily agree with it, which I certainly agree with both of those, it's your obligation at that point to do it, to implement their decision in the best way possible. So I think, depending on the issue, I think mostly it's a trustee situation, but at certain times you got to be able to be the delegate and do the will of the people.
You're listening to WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I have tonight the three candidates for county executive in Northampton County who are on the Democratic side: Glenn Reben, John Callahan, Lamont McClure. We're going to move from a kind of a talk about where your heads are and what makes you tick into the issues. So stick around after this quick break.
Man, you've been sitting much too long. There's a permanent crease in your right and wrong. There's a midget standing tall, and a giant beside him about to fall.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Touchstone Theater on Bethlehem Southside in their 32nd season, presenting Ulysses Dreams, an exploration of origin and destiny, performed by the Touchstone Ensemble. This modern adaptation of the adventures of the hero Ulysses is performed in the form of a song cycle dealing with the characters of Ulysses and his relationship with various women in his life. April 13th to the 21st. For tickets or information, 610-867-1689 or touchstone.org. For program support on WDIY, we thank the Sands Bethlehem Event Center, presenting Diana Krall at the Sands Bethlehem Event Center stage for a performance Thursday, October 10th at 8 p.m. Tickets for Diana Krall will go on sale Friday, April 12th. Information on this and other shows online, sandseventcenter.com.
Nobody loves it when you're down and out. It's Eric Clapton's version. You know, I think Democrats are all about people being down and out and stepping up and intervening. You know, I can never remember, maybe the lawyer knows this, the difference between which one is sympathy and which one is empathy. One of them is, I've been there, I get it, I feel for you. The other one is...
That's empathy.
Empathy. I ain't been there, but I care anyway. Have any of you ever reached needed help from the government? I mean, have you been somebody who's benefited from the programs that government offers? Do you have the sympathy or empathy in that sense, John?
Well, I think, you know, if you had to ask folks that are down and out, are you looking for sympathy or are you looking for empathy? I think what they really want is empathy. I mean, you save your sympathy for someone else. I just want a shot. I want a hand up, not a hand out. You know, give me an opportunity to be successful. And so I look back on my life and absolutely I've been there. I mean, my father growing up was an alcoholic. You know, I had a tough family life. My mom, you know, with five kids trying to hold it all together. And I was a Head Start kid growing up. So obviously, you know, what's going on with sequestration right now, you got Head Start programs across the country throughout the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania being cut, not giving that kid that equal opportunity, that shot to get ahead. I also had a speech impediment growing up. So it wasn't until, you know, second or third grade that I kind of worked out those issues. So by no means, Alan, was I a kid who stepped off the bus, you know, in kindergarten when they pointed to him and say, hey, that kid, he's going to be mayor of his town someday. You know, that's not the case. And so if I didn't have that assistance at the front end to get me in a position where I could be successful, and by third grade I tested for the gifted program and off I went. And so absolutely I've needed people's help. And I think, again, going back to what makes you different when you're a Democrat is when you get that help and you step through that door of opportunity and that door of success, that you don't slam it behind you, that you reach back and try to help someone as well. So I have total? And I think this is an important question because particularly when you look at what counties do, they are dealing with the elderly. They're dealing with, abused children. They're doing, it's the softer side of government. And so having that, having that empathy and that sense of perspective, because you don't know sitting here in your radio, in this radio studio, what the next issue in the county is going to be. So it's important to know, how does this individual, what lens do they view life from? And do they see, will they look out for that person again and make sure that those services that are so critical at Greysdale Human Services, et cetera, are delivered in a way that are effective and efficient for the taxpayers, but do give people that safety net and opportunity for success.
Glenn, have you ever needed government help or your neighbor's help?
I have been very fortunate in my life. I never needed government help or my neighbor's help, but I've always been in a position to help others, and that's why I was a teacher, a coach, and got involved in politics, so I could reach out and help others. And I think I've accomplished that in my years at teaching, in coaching, and in elected office.
Amant?
Yeah, it's interesting, Alan, that you directed the question as to what the definitions of sympathy and empathy are, because as an attorney who represents victims of asbestos exposure in court, we're often challenged by that dichotomy. And jurors are actually admonished, you're not to be sympathetic, okay? So what, and they take, and it's been my experience that most juries take that instruction from the judge very seriously. So what we have to do is unlock the empathy of the folks who are sitting on that jury. And we do that by telling the very human story of our clients. And, you know, most of the folks that we represent were exposed to asbestos while they were working. Some of the folks were wives who merely just washed their husband's work clothes. And one of the diseases you can get by being exposed to asbestos is mesothelioma. It's actually called the asbestos cancer because it's a signal tumor. The only thing that causes it is asbestos, and it's incurable. It's fatal. You can't treat it. You know. So we're making these arguments trying to unlock the empathy of folks all the time. So when I bring my day job of taking on the largest corporations in the world on behalf of these folks who had no idea that they were being exposed to this stuff while they were just trying to live the American dream, I bring that to my public service. So, you know, yeah, I do have sympathy as well as empathy, and I have been helped by the government. And I'll tell you why. It makes me crazy during the height of the Tea Party folks in their when they were getting a lot of attention in the lead up to the vote on the Affordable Health Care Act. They were coming to meetings saying, "Don't touch my Medicare."
Yeah, isn't that great?
Keep your hands off my
Medicare.
For those folks who don't know, and I'm sure most of your listeners do, Medicare is the most successful public health program in the world. So to get back to bring a long way around back to your original question, I had student loans guaranteed by the federal government. I couldn't have gotten my education without them. We couldn't afford to pay for me to go to school without those guaranteed loans. And, you know, Alan, one point I want to make before you move on, we all need each other, whether it's through government action, because government isn't always the solution to the problem. Sometimes government's the problem. But we need, as you know, because you've dedicated your life to it, we also need community action. And these are the kind of things that we need to keep in mind, and I think we all do.
So, you know, there's the old cliche, I think it started with Hubert Humphrey, the best anti-poverty program is a job. Eastern Pennsylvania is getting killed. I don't understand. I have yet to get an explanation that makes sense to me about how the Lehigh Valley could have been the fastest growing region in Pennsylvania and the fourth fastest growing region in the northeastern United States. And when the economy tanked, we're lagging job creation, both the state and the national numbers. And And, you know, we've got some 8% plus unemployment. I mean, this is 5 years of 8% unemployment. That's a huge, I mean, people are losing money. They're losing their job. I mean, their homes, their health care. What can a county executive do to ameliorate unemployment? Can you, what can you do to create jobs? Let's start with you, Lamont.
Well, thank you, Alan. And I want to get to that jobs question because it's a very important question. But you talked about folks losing their homes. I think you know, during the height of the mortgage foreclosure crisis, we in Northampton County created a mortgage foreclosure diversion program. And I wrote that ordinance, that law, in Northampton County, and we passed that program. And in that mortgage foreclosure diversion program in Northampton County, 45% of the folks who entered that program got relief. And because they got that relief, they got to stay in their homes. They continued to be taxpayers, not only to the county, but to the school district and their particular municipality. And they got to pay their mortgage. So it was a net benefit to all the stakeholders in that process. So that's the kind of thing you can do in county government to make a difference in people's lives. Now, back to jobs. The current administration, for whatever reason, determined very early on, the current Northampton County administration determined very early on that they weren't going to have a director of community and economic development. It mystified us. We had a lot of conversation about it, but that's the approach he wanted to take. It's just not an acceptable circumstance to have going forward. And when I'm elected county executive, it's the first appointment I'm going to make, the director of community and economic development, because it's just so important. We've been losing out. If I understand regionalism, okay, but sometimes regionalism become unbalanced. And one of the ways regionalism has become unbalanced in recent years is in job creation. I'm not talking about necessarily total number of jobs, but in the kinds and quality of employers that have been showing up in Lehigh County and in Northampton County. And in Northampton County, we've been lacking in that regard. We are not getting the kind of high quality, living wage, life-sustaining jobs that we need to have in Northampton County. And quite frankly, one of the reasons is we haven't had a administration that made it a priority. It's just not been a priority of this current administration. And we need to do that. We need to fight.
I'm sorry, Lamont, when we hit the table for emphasis, we shake.
I had an
like
emphatic
the whole, all the radio listeners are out there.
But
I appreciate the emphasis. So Glenn, I'm afraid this is a softball being thrown at you. Can a Northampton County executive create jobs?
Oh, absolutely, because I created thousands of jobs and billions of dollars in economic development. That was one of the priorities when I ran in 1997, when I was overwhelmingly elected county executive. We made the investments throughout Northampton County. We made them in our largest municipality, Bethlehem, but we also made it throughout the county, and we've created thousands of jobs. Remember, in Northampton County in the Lehigh Valley, we had to replace a lot of jobs. We had big corporations here that people thought would take care of them for the rest of their lives. We had Bethlehem Steel, we had Mack Truck, and we had Ingersoll Rand over in Phillipsburg, where a lot of our Northampton County residents lived, worked, and they lived over here. And we had to replace those jobs. And we've put the money and the time and the patience into the creation of jobs. And we've suffered through two downturns in the economy, one in 2002 and one in 2008. And I believe you're seeing now today the fruits of the labors of the Reeven administration. And as Lamont stated, we have a Department of Community and Economic Development. That was created during my administration. And when I'm elected county executive, there will be a director of that department.
John Callahan, can county executive create jobs?
I know the mayor of Bethlehem can. It's been quite a decade of success. While maybe parts of Northampton County have lagged in job creation, we certainly have not seen that here in the city of Bethlehem. Over the last 10 years, there's been 5,500 new jobs created, over $2.2 billion of new investment in the city of Bethlehem. much of it on the old Bethlehem Steel site. Most of those jobs, good family sustaining jobs, many jobs in the technology. We opened an $18 million expansion of a business technology incubator that is a government state run program in conjunction with the city. We have a Keystone Innovation Zone in South Bethlehem, a state program in conjunction with the city of Bethlehem. The city of Bethlehem opened up a partnership in innovation post incubator technology center in one of the toughest neighborhoods of South Bethlehem. And now we've got, 50 folks earning a real good living in 8 different companies on the old Can't Tell Me Hardware building. So, while I don't gonna say that government creates jobs, but what they do is they create the right environment for the private sector to do well and make those investments. And again, we've done that in the city of Bethlehem to a great deal of success, to the point now where, we're one of the 100 best places in the country to raise a family, one of the 100 best places in the country to start a new business by Fortune Small Business Magazine, and one of the 100 best places to live. And I have to tell you, a decade ago, with the demise of Bethlehem Steel, I don't think a lot of people were thinking that Bethlehem would be on those types of national lists. And so, how do we take that success and translate it to the county level? And I think both of the gentlemen here pointed out that, for too long, economic development and job creation has been relegated to the back burner in Northampton County. By not filling that position, I think it sends a very, very negative message to the business community. I've been very focused on that as mayor. I'll be extremely focused on it as county executive, and I will fill that position. I mean, just a simple example is, it's symbolic, but I think it also says a lot, is not only did the county executive not fill the director of community and economic development's role or position, but actually moved the department from right across the hallway from the county executive's office to sort of the bowels of the courthouse itself.
It is hard to find that room, isn't it?
It's going, and you have to walk right as the prisoners are walking to the courtroom. So yeah. it really, again, is a sends exactly the wrong message. I think that's why the county has not been as successful as the city of Bethlehem has been. And under my leadership and my experience over the last 10 years, I think we can change that.
We're going to run out of time on this next question, but let me see if we can get a quick answer out of this. I don't know how we're going to do that, but Lamont McClure, Glenn Reedman, John Callahan, candidates for Northampton County Executive. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY. The cities and boroughs, that the growth in our communities and our counties has clearly been uneven. The poverty rate in the cities of Bethlehem and Easton is about 5 times higher than it is in the rest of the county. And I'm guessing if you take Bangor and Wind Gap and Penn Argyl and the other boroughs out, that the difference between the townships and the cities and boroughs is a gaping chasm. What can the county do to level the playing field so that our cities and, importantly, our boroughs? And Bethlehem's got, Northampton County's got a couple dozen, I think, boroughs, some of which are really, really struggling. What can you do to address that issue? We got about a minute each for each of you. Glenn, let's start with you.
Well, the county has 19 boroughs, 2 cities, and 17 townships. What we can do is encourage our townships and our boroughs to do more regional services together. We've had some successful regional cooperation with the Colonial Regional Police Force, for example. We need for these townships and boroughs to try and merge their services together and see if they can do more things together and eventually merge into one community. 38 municipalities in the county is too many. Pennsylvania has over 2,600 municipalities. We need municipalities to merge, to share services, and to become more economic and more cost-effective.
Lamont, where are you?
The number one focus of county government to address the specific issue that you raised is to be in a position to provide the services that those folks need when they need them. That really needs to be our number one priority, because that's what we do. What does county government do? County government provides for human services. One of the most important human services is the services we provide at Greysdale. But we provide a whole host of other state-mandated community services. And what we need to do is continue to be able to do that as well as we possibly can, and then marry our aggressive approach to creating jobs.
John?
Well, specifically, when it comes to jobs and economic investment, there are vacant storefronts, unfortunately, in every downtown and every borough in Northampton County, too many of them. And so, I in Bethlehem and in Easton, we have the ability to maybe build a little bit more of a critical mass of expertise in-house to deal with some of these challenges, whereas the smaller boroughs don't have the capacity necessarily to do that, and or nor would you really want them all to have their own little economic development department. So I think something that the county can do, and something that we've done in Bethlehem, is we can build that capacity. We can build that network, so to speak, that these individual boroughs can tap into. So we can work with the chambers of commerce. We can work with the borough revitalization program to do better marketing to attract people to want to be in the downtowns. You know, a big part of these issues is public safety, the issue of crime and public safety. No one's going to want to invest in a downtown, whether it be a downtown borough or a downtown city, if they don't feel safe. So what role can the county play in, again, creating that right environment around public safety? But to the extent that the county can take some of these issues on and bring that expertise to bear it's about marrying up a willing developer with a willing community, and the county can play a much more aggressive role in these boroughs. And you know, we've gotten a lot of credit for a lot of good things in the city, and obviously the casino gets a lot of hype, and you know, all the things that have happened at LVIP. You got 11 businesses there and 2,400 people being employed. But some of our biggest successes, and I'm a big believer that it's not a home run. You know, to go back to sort of baseball, it's not about home runs and big ball. It's about small ball. It's about singles and doubles, and storefront by storefront and block by block. And we can take that same approach in all of the boroughs in the county.
You're listening to WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. My guest tonight, three brave political leaders in Northampton County, all of whom want to be your next county executive. They are Lamont McClure, Glenn Reben, and John Callahan. We still have another segment to go. Stick around.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Lehigh University and Live Nation, announcing the tickets are now on sale for Bob Dylan and his band with Dawes, Thursday, April 18th at Stabler Arena. More information and tickets are available at StablerArena.com, ComcastTix.com, Stabler Arena box office, or by phone at 866-734-6204.
WDIY is proud to partner with local community organizations to celebrate Earth Day weekend on South Bethlehem's Greenway, Saturday and Sunday, April 20th and 21st. With hands-on green crafts, music, food, and speakers from environmental groups, schools, and businesses. Focusing on a sustainable future with activities for the whole family. Co-sponsored by the Sierra Club and the City of Bethlehem. For more information, 610-730-2514 or Sierra Club Lehigh Valley Group on Facebook.
All right, we've got about 16 minutes left. We're back. This is WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. I've got three distinguished former elected and currently elected Democratic candidates for Northampton County Executive in the studio with me. Very tight place. They're behaving very nicely, because it would be an ugly room if it was not so nice. So that would be Lamont McClure, who's currently on County Council, Glenn Reben, former County Executive running again, and John Callahan, currently the Mayor of Bethlehem. I haven't thanked Ray Schwab yet. Ray is the guy that comes in here and makes this work and keeps the buttons looking like they're supposed to. And so, Ray, I always like to thank you for the volunteer effort, because there you go, way to go. So you got a standing O going on over here. Washington and Harrisburg are just killing us. You know, Governor Corbett's budgets have been austere is almost being polite. They've been draconian in their cutting. The president, who I'm not thinking has done the greatest job dealing with poor people's issues, but has really had a tough time with his Republican counterparts in the Congress. And so, they're basically dumping all this stuff on you guys. So, given the austerity, I'm going to ask you a question that every politician hates to be asked, but you got to be asked. And that is, given all that austerity, are you willing to raise taxes under any circumstance? Lamont?
Well, no. In as a matter of fact, in my first term, I'm making a pledge that I will not raise property taxes in my first term. It's not necessary. When the former executive Reedman was county executive, property taxes went up a total of 64%.
You're going to make me defend him now, you know.
It's not an attack. I'm trying to. It's a fact.
I hear you.
It's a fact. It's not an attack. And in 2007, the current administration raised property taxes a half a mil. That tax increase was sold as being entirely dedicated to farmland preservation, open space preservation, and environmentally sensitive land preservation. And indeed, we have used quite a bit of that money for that purpose. However, over 20 years, that tax increase alone will raise about $83 million. Not all of that money, I dare say not half of that money, will be used to preserve farmland, open space, and environmentally sensitive land. So when we were at an event earlier and former Exec Reedman talked about how he had left the current administration a $45 million fund balance, and that's true, that fund balance through the majority of the current administration has been $60 million every year. It's $50 million now. We should be more than able to navigate the next 4 years without a property tax increase. Because remember, and I understand the premise of your question, and I don't disagree with it, not even gently. I think you're absolutely right. But when you're dealing with the property tax, you're also dealing with the kinds of folks we were talking about earlier that were helped by the mortgage foreclosure program that I was so happy to be involved in, so happy to write that law. The higher those taxes go, the harder it is for those folks to stay in their homes. And you've got seniors all over Northampton County who want to stay in their own home. And what they'll tell you when you talk to them, and I've had it over the last 7 years on Northampton County Council, I've never voted for a tax increase. I've been talking to these senior citizens, and the one thing they tell me is, I want to stay in my home. And the way for me to stay in my home is for you not to raise my property taxes.
John Callahan, you willing to raise taxes?
Only if it's an absolute last resort. I've been very clear about that in my 10 years as mayor. I mean, the situation is really that, you know, we have an obligation to provide certain critical services in Bethlehem. It's police, fire, EMS, and the like in the county. You know, we've talked about what county services are. You know, the health and human services, children and youth, Graysdale, the prison, etc. That's an obligation that we have as a government. We also have an obligation to run those operations as efficiently and as effective as possible. And in Bethlehem, we've done that. We have run the last 2 years, two straight surpluses. We ended last year with a $1 million surplus. We have no deficit, and we've actually lowered our debt by $90 million over the course of my 10 years. We've got $90 million less debt today than when I took office in 2004. So it can be done. You can be fiscally responsible and deliver good, high-quality service. We've got the least amount of employees in the city of Bethlehem right now, but I dare say we're delivering services at the highest level possible. So, you know, if you've done all the things you can do and you've wrung out all the efficiencies and you've eliminated all the waste, but at the end of the day, you've got a deficit. Nobody likes debt and deficit either, right? You have an obligation to balance your budget. And so only as a last resort. And I'll tell you one thing that we've done in Bethlehem that I'm very proud of, and I look forward to applying the same principle at the county level, is continuous improvement. It's a program that we borrowed from Air Products about empowering your employees to do their jobs better, to look for waste, to look for opportunities to drive efficiency, and not in a top-down way, but in a very bottom-up fashion. And we've saved $14 million of hard savings in the city of Bethlehem in the last 6 years through continuous improvement. We're a $90 million operation in the city. The county's a $340 million operation. Imagine applying the principle of continuous improvement to the county, which has seen very little of this. I know we can find savings and reduction in waste and efficiency.
Glenn Riedman, we all know that counties are an extension of the state in the sense that they've got to run prison system, corrections system, the judicial system. We've got human services that are mandated. There isn't a lot of room there. How do you pay the bills without raising taxes? Are you willing to raise taxes?
I'm not willing to raise taxes if I don't have to. Now, let me give you a little perspective in my 16-year career in county government. As a member of county council, I served for 8 years. During those 8 years, I never voted to raise taxes. In fact, I voted twice to cut taxes and to abolish the personal property tax. When I became county executive, we made the investments in economic development, in our capital projects, and in our open space. What happened in 2002, we got caught in the biggest turndown in the economy since the Great Depression. We had to make decisions because we were mandated to do services, and the federal and state governments cut back on the funding that we usually got. I had a council of 6 Republicans and 3 Democrats. We talked it over, and we decided to plug the holes that needed to be plugged because our economic development investments had not taken hold at this time. By votes of 7-2, 4 Republicans, 3 Democrats voting across party lines, we did raise taxes for 2003-2004. That plugging the holes was the right thing to do at that time, because if you look at Northampton County in 2013, and I'm sure the budget for 2014 will be a no tax increase budget, over the last 10 years, the only tax increase in Northampton County is the half mil increase that happened in 2007 for open space, because now our economic development investments are taking hold. When I became executive, our revenue from taxes was $35 million. Today, it's over $80 million and growing, and I credit it for what we did with the council of 2003, 2004, and our investments in economic development. And it was a combination of Democrats and Republicans working together to do what is best for the county. So if things continue to grow like I think they will, I don't think the county will have to raise taxes in the near future.
You're listening to listener-supported community public radio. This is WDIY. This is the show is called Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. Tonight, my guests are the 3 Democratic candidates from Northampton County, Lamont McClure, John Callahan, and Glenn Riedman. Let's assume you spend 2 terms as the county executive. When you walk out of your office that last day and, you know, say goodbye to the service that you've given to the county, and, you know, you hold a press conference to brag about what you did, what do you intend to be the thing you are the most proud of, having served 8 years as a county executive?
Well, Glenn, I'll be interested to hear what Glenn has to say about this, because he's actually had an experience similar to the one you're describing. But I think to answer it fully, folks have to understand, as I think they do, what county government does. And I think you sort of sketched it out before. We operate prisons. We have a nursing home. We provide state-mandated human services. We provide court services. That's what we do. And very often, very difficult decisions are made on a day-in and day-out basis about that. So, you know, I don't know that there'll be any bragging at the end of 8 years, but here are my goals. My first goal is that Graysdale will still be county owned, and that not only will Graysdale be county owned, but that Graysdale's quality of care, the appearance of the facility, and the overall satisfaction of the residents and the folks who have to go to Graysdale in the short term will be good. If that happens, I will have considered my time as county executive to be good. A couple other things I would like to have be true. One is that our public continues to believe they are well served, as they are, by our employees. If they believe that, I will have done my job. Also, if our employees who are well serving our public are happy, I will have felt as if I had done a good job.
That was Lamont McClure. Glenn Reedman, what are you going to brag about the day you walk out of office?
Well, I did it once, and I walked out after 8 years, and I'll give you the exact statement. The Reedman administration was not a caretaker government. The Reedman administration was premised on the principle of making a positive difference to our community and historical change for our region. Nothing less was worthy of the opportunity to serve. History, I believe, has judged us well.
Is that the speech that you made? You have that with you?
Yes, I do.
No kidding. That's amazing. John, what are you going to brag about when you walk out of office?
Well, I'm going to be in a similar situation, being term limited at the end of this year, at least in terms of my role as mayor here in the city of Bethlehem. And you know, it's the things that I'm probably most proud of, all the little skirmishes and battles that folks never know about, you know, where you took a stand. It was a little bit tougher than you stood up to the developer, you stood up to a bully that was doing the wrong thing in your community. So sometimes it's not the big things that you might imagine one might be really proud of at the end of 8 years. But you know, I think, you know, leaving what you really want to do at the end of the day, Alan, is you want to leave the place better than when you got there. And you know, so leaving the county on a fiscally sustainable path where you know, they have the proper cash reserves, and you're not relying on one-time revenues, and you got recurring revenue that are going to allow you to continue to deliver high-quality services, growing the tax base, bringing jobs to the county, you know, making sure that we have preserved open space and we've participated in smart growth. So, you know, some of the things that we talked about today on this program, which is, you know, reinvesting back in our struggling boroughs, back in our urban cores. I would love to see Easton being, you know, a really strong downtown. I think they've got a lot of, they've come a long way, but they've got a lot of opportunity. And I think the county can play an important role in where it makes its investments in downtown Easton as a county seat. So, you know, the health of Easton, the health of our two core cities, the health of our boroughs, making sure that we have open space preservation and making sure that these critical county services that so many people rely on, and they are oftentimes those in our community with the least voice, that they are receiving those high quality services in the most efficient and effective way. And it's not easy to do. Sometimes, you know, culture change and getting people to think about doing their jobs differently is hard work, and it doesn't make the headlines every day. But if you do it well, you can increase the morale of your employees and deliver those services better. So I would take a very comprehensive look at it. And at the end of the day, I tell a story that, you know, before I ran for mayor, I imagined sort of looking back on my life, not even just my term as mayor, but kind of my life in general, and wanting to have lived a life that made a difference and had an impact on people. And the idea that I would, you know, gather up my grandkids in the car and drive around my hometown, or maybe in this case, driving around my home county, and pointing to a couple of projects along the way, not that I did per se, but that I had a little role in and playing, telling a little story at each stop. And so that's kind of the perspective in which I look at my role as mayor and hopefully as county executive, is trying to build a better community for my kids, for my grandkids, where they have a good opportunity for a job and a good quality of life right here close to home.
I am proud of the show we just did. Lamont McClure, current county council member, lawyer, and candidate for Northampton County Executive. Lamont, thanks for being here.
Alan, thank you very much for having us. Maybe I can make a suggestion. Have another show. We'll come back and maybe we'll do a little comparing and contrasting our records.
We can do that. Glenn Reedman, former county executive, former educator, strength and conditioning coach. I get it. I'm not messing with you. But good luck to you. Thanks for being part of the show.
And thanks for having this discussion tonight, Alan.
And Mayor Callahan, mayor for 10 years, I think, city council before that. John, good luck to you and all your and your future endeavors.
Alan, thanks for hosting us. Thanks for this program, not just tonight, but what you do on the radio all the time, but more importantly for what you're doing at CACLV. You really are making one hell of a difference here in the Lehigh Valley.
Thanks, John. That's it for Lehigh Valley Discourse. May 2nd, Scott Ott and Dean Browning. That ought to be interesting. Thanks for joining us.